Welcome to Community Conversations. These are pre-recorded interviews brought to you each Tuesday and Thursday at 8 a.m. on KRFY. Because of ongoing concerns about the COVID pandemic, we are not able to be in the studio doing live broadcast interviews right now. But we are still dedicated to recording and bringing to you topics of local and current interest, highlighting voices from our community. For Community Conversations, we are using phones and web-based technology so that participants can be recorded remotely. Please bear with us if there are any gaps or hiccups that might be caused by a slow or unstable phone or internet connection. Also, keep in mind that because these interviews are recorded, information may change between the time of this recording and the time that you hear it broadcast. Thank you for joining us for today's Community Conversation on KRFY 88.5 FM, listener-supported community radio for North Idaho. Good morning, and welcome to another edition of the Community Conversations on Tuesday show with Phil Huff and Julie Calamine, my co-host today. Julie, how are you?
I'm great, Phil. Oh, yes. Well, every day, great. And how are you today?
I'm doing pretty good. I think, and we're going to talk more about this through the interview, I'm still kind of bemoaning that winter is not really winter, but it feels like March breakup. And so as a result, I was mostly inside this weekend doing chores and stuff.
Yeah, it's interesting, Phil, because I was having the same thoughts over the last few days. And I tried to think of what I've been up to in the week since we've last spoken. And it's sort of sad. I dyed my hair. I practiced a fly fishing cast that I would normally just use in the summertime, but needs practice, my double haul. And I did the one redeeming activity for me, Phil, was that I did go alpine skiing on Tuesday with a friend who's a mountain host. So that made that sort of made the week.
That's nice. I was up in Libby for meetings the other day. And so on the way back, I took a little moonlight stroll down to Kootenai Falls, which in January, you'd usually want snowshoes and some real strong traction devices for the ice around the falls. And now it was bare ground and it was chugging along like the spring breakup and spring flood stage. Anyway.
Well, it's exactly right. Not much happening, but and not only is there not much happening down in the low snowless zones, but it brings us into our topic for today because the topic for today is really kind of all about snow. So we'll see how we do. Our guests this week are the Sandpoint Nordic Club, and we're going to be joined by the president and head race team coach, who is Ross Longini. Hello, Ross.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Oh, nice to see you and have you back again. And for the first time ever, we're being joined by Renee Niggin. And Renee is a board member of the Sandpoint Nordic Club and youth coach. Hello, Renee.
Hello.
It's so good to have you. Well, as we often do, we like to start by finding out what is your organization. So, Ross, could you tell us what is Sandpoint Nordic Club?
Sure, Julie, I'd love to. The Sandpoint Nordic Club, just a brief history, is a 501c3, so it's a nonprofit dedicated to the promotion and enjoyment of cross-country skiing in the Sandpoint area. It was founded in 2011 by two couples, Ned and Jennifer Brandenberger and Jared and Coral France. And since then, we've grown quite a bit, and we started out just a few handfuls of people, and I think I just added up today, we have almost 450 members in the Sandpoint Nordic Club in the Sandpoint community.
It's really tremendous growth, and I remember just a few years back going to one of the events, and I think the observation was made or the comments were made that club membership that year had just increased tremendously, like threefold to from 100 to 300. And it's great to see that excitement in the area, and I'm wondering, is that unique to Sandpoint, or is that riding the crest of the wave? There's some other successful Nordic clubs in the area. I'm thinking up around Priest Lake and Libby. Where does that all fit in?
Yeah, I would say Sandpoint Nordic Club is a bit unique. Certainly, there's been a recent COVID-related wave in cross-country skiing. And as I'm sure most of our listeners have observed over this last summer, there were a lot of people enjoying the outdoors due to COVID. We saw it at the trailheads, we see it on the lake, we see it throughout our community. So that's part of why we certainly have grown, but frankly, the growth in the Sandpoint Nordic Club has started, you know, almost what, eight, nine years ago now. And it's been steady growth through that whole period. And most of that, I would say, is really the focus of the Nordic Club has been to provide access to people. What we found when we started looking at the amount of people participating in Nordic activities a number of years ago, let's say go back to maybe 2012, we realized that access was an issue. When I say access, I really look at multiple different things. One is, do people know about it? Do they know what cross-country skiing is? Do they have a way to learn more about it? Do they have a way to access affordable equipment? Do they have a way to access affordable instruction? And then finally, and importantly, do they have trails that are friendly to somebody who wants to start out the sport for the first time? And so those are the areas that the Sandpoint Nordic Club has focused exclusively on over the past 8 or 9 years.
Yeah. And let's back up just for a moment and ask if there is a mission of Sandpoint Nordic Club. Is it, I suppose it's to bring, just to bring, well, you'll tell me, what is your mission? What's your stated mission?
Yeah, it's actually, we're dedicated to the promotion and enjoyment of cross-country skiing in the Sandpoint community. That's our mission, and that's what we do. And if we were to maybe elaborate just briefly on that, I would love that every single person in our community has the opportunity to Nordic ski if they so desire. Every man, woman, and child, if they want to give it a try, that they have a way to make that happen.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you're offering the resource, and so many barriers are that opportunity of not knowing where the first steps are, as you said, rental equipment, places to go, instruction. There's also financial barriers that our community, our especially our outside of Sandpoint, our rural communities are impoverished. And how are you working it so the cost isn't a barrier?
Yeah, so I'll give a little bit of a highlight of, because that is a fundamental part of our mission, is to make sure that we provide access to all, regardless of financial concern. And I'm going to also, at the end of my comment, I want Renee to specifically talk about one program that we have that's especially geared towards this. So we did some analysis here over this last year, looking at our price structure, and some of our programs, of course, we do charge for, and our after school programs, our rental ski programs, but we try to keep them as affordable as we can and still continue the organization. And so when I looked at a number of different cross-country and Nordic areas in Washington, Oregon, Montana, Idaho, and even up in British Columbia, and I looked at the average costs of programs, rentals, day passes, whatever, we've kept ours at about 50% of the average. And we know that cost is a big deal. I'll go back a few years ago, my wife, Vicki, and I, we were trying to get at least one or two school groups involved. And we had the experiential learning group or something, it was called like that, out of Clark Fork. And we had like 30 kids come. And this is when had the ski trails on Boyer Avenue. And we had about 30 kids out there. And I was addressing the kids first thing in the morning before we got going. And I asked for a show of hands, how many of those kids had ever participated in any kind of snow sliding sport? So skiing or alpine skiing or ice skating or anything that was similar to cross-country skiing. And of the 30 kids, one kid raised their hand. And we also know you may say, well, they just didn't want to do it. And well, I don't know. I mean, a few years ago, the city of Sandpoint did a youth needs assessment survey. And in that survey, and this is shocking to me because I think a lot of us believe that our community is a snow community. It's a ski mountain town, right? In that survey, we found that 70% of kids do not participate in outdoor winter sports. And the number one reason given was financial and transportation, which kind of goes along with financial, I guess. So one of the things we did with that information is we decided to reach out to school groups. And Renee, maybe you can talk a little bit about the school group program that we started last winter.
Yeah, so for one of our, out of all of our programs, the one program that really reaches the most members of our community is the school groups. And so with the school groups program, it's offered to third, fifth, and sixth graders. And then we have some outliers as well. And so with the school groups, what happens is that teachers can sign up and you just bring your class up to Pine Street Woods and Rick Price takes them out cross-country skiing, and you get to do that for 2 hours, and you just hang out, and the kids, they learn equipment, they learn how to get up from falling, and then they just head out on skis. So this year, even with COVID, it was our goal to grow the program. So this year, participating in the school program, we have classes from Southside, Sagal, Washington, Northside, Farm and Stidwell, Waldorf, and then also a homeschool group as well. I get to participate in the school group because I'm a sixth grade teacher. In our building, it was like a rush to make sure we all got signed up. So far, our three sixth grade classes have been up to Pine Street Woods, two of the third, I think, and then the two fifth grade classes are still on schedule. So.
And there were a few places to ski. It's been pretty drippy.
Yeah. So luckily, the great thing is actually when we went for this year, due to the snowfall, there's been a few classes that have gotten to ski. My colleague went up with his class and he actually came back and his exact words were, "Rick Price is a godsend," because it was like kind of sleeting, but he had gone out and he had found an area for them to ski. So his class got to ski. By the time we went up there, we weren't able to ski just due to the snowfall, but we still went up and we hiked on all the different trails, played a bunch of different games. And my class is probably the happiest they have ever been when we got back. So they're still having a great time.
Are these after school extracurricular, or are you able to build it into the school day somehow?
Yeah, so for the school program, it's built into the school day. So this year specifically, classes are going up from 9 to 11 a.m. So we spend two hours up at Pine Street Woods. And right now we're running them Tuesday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays to get more classes involved.
That's great. Let's just keep going with programs since we've started with them. I see a list here. We've got youth after school, race team, adult family. Let's talk about programs.
Yeah, so the Youth After School program, it's running right now. It's an 8-week program and we meet Mondays and Wednesdays and we have a whole range. So we've got multiple different levels of groups. And the goal is when kids sign up, and if it's their first time on skis, we get them classic skiing to start them out. And so we've got a little steppers group who's the early ages. So we've got like 5 and 6-year-olds out there just learning how to stand up and get going. Yesterday, they actually whizzed past my group as they were flying downhill. So they're doing great. And then we have two.
I've got to just say that would probably be where I would fit in. I call my style of classical skiing shuffling. So they're probably already ahead of me.
Yeah, you do great with them. and then I get to coach with the classic one group, and then we move up, and once kids feel that they're ready, they move up to classic two. And then after they have a few years on skis, then they can choose and they can go into, we have a skate group. So then they can learn to skate ski. And then further up from that group is our development group. And so that group is meant for, they actually both classic ski and they skate ski. And they're kind of working towards moving to joining the race team, which is our separate group. So the development team actually meets more times a week.
The race team, do they train year round?
Yeah, maybe I'll take that one. Just I know Renee knows a lot about it, but that is one of my babies on the program right now. And the race team it's a relatively small group. They tend to be older kids. We run from about 11 years old up to 16 right now. And it's 7 racers this year. And they get 1 month off, Phil. They get April off. They train the rest of the year and they train hard and long. I mean, they're training 4 or 5 6 days a week from May 1st through the end of March. And really what they're training for all summer is, it certainly is some technique. We're on roller skis in the summer. And then of course we transition to snow when available, and then they start their race season, usually either in late December or early January, and the race season runs through March. And so to give you a couple of examples, is so far this year we've had three race weekends, or we're about to have our third. So we first one was in Bend, Oregon at Mount Bachelor ski area. And then the next one, last weekend, we had a Saturday and Sunday race in Libby, Montana. And right now, this coming weekend, is in Bozeman, Montana.
So is there a connection with, or is this completely separate from the SARS, the Schweitzer Alpine Racing School?
It's separate. Yeah, it's a separate program. SARS doesn't have a Nordic racing program. So these kids are racing in order to try and make a national team. And we've had, it's pretty hard to make the junior national team. And so this year we will have a couple of kids from Sandpoint that will most likely be on the junior national team.
That's pretty amazing. Ross, is there a high school Nordic team?
There aren't high school Nordic teams in Idaho. Some states have them, some don't. Oregon has a high school Nordic, Washington doesn't. So when we race in what are called junior national qualifying races, those were in the Pacific Northwest Ski Associations, which is part of US Ski and Snowboard. And so our division, if you will, our kids race, when they race against all the athletes from Oregon, Washington, and then we're the only Idaho team. Mm-hmm. And this weekend, because of COVID, there's a race actually in the Metau, but they're not allowing any out-of-state participants. So we are racing in Bozeman against what's called the Intermountain Division, which is a very competitive division. So our kids will have their hands full.
Yeah. And they race both classic and skate ski?
Yeah. Yes, they do, Julie. Usually every race is a two-day race, except for the nationals. And they race 1 day of classic and 1 day of skate. And then it's this year or this weekend in Bozeman here, it's a little bit different because of low snow conditions. They're racing 2 days of skate. And usually 1 day is a distance day and 1 day is a sprint day. So the distance day for most of the kids is gonna be a 5 kilometer race, and the sprint day is a 1.5 kilometer race, which would be super fast.
What an excellent program, because intercollegiate youth athletics are so critical to the development of folks as they're going through high school and college, and to gear them up for that. What a wonderful opportunity. We would be remiss to not look at some of the programs you have who are designed for people who aren't necessarily going on to a ski racing. There's adult training and advanced youth training. Tell us a little more about those.
So this year with the Sandpoint Nordic Club, actually when we, Allie France came on board and is our coordinator. And so on her lead, Allie has helped us grow the amount of adult and family programming that we have. And so some of those things are, we have now hosted, I think, is it two learn to ski days? So we've had two learn to ski days, and those are for families can join, and it's classic skiing. And so we run two different sessions, and that's really like anyone who's never really been on skis, or they haven't, it's been years, and they just want to come and get a group lesson. And so that's just to get people to, the goal is that you will go away from a learn to ski day and feel comfortable to come back on your own and keep classic skiing. So that's that program.
Okay, and is equipment provided?
Yeah, so when you sign up, part of it is that you can rent from the Outdoor Recreation Center. So that's provided right there.
Neat.
Yeah, and then, so moving from that, then we also actually this year, before the season even started, I participated in, there was a dry land training. And so that was, we had a group of, I think there was like 6 or 7 of us, and it ran for 6 weeks, I believe. And so it was just to get in. There was a combination. There was Nordic skiers and Alpine skiers, and it was just to get in shape. And we did some dry land drills to help us get ready for the winter season. And that was actually led by Vicky Longini. And it was excellent, super fun, and got everyone excited for winter. So that was something that was new this year that we want to keep holding and having for the community. And then hopefully, now we just need some snow because we have some other exciting programs. We have a women's skate clinic. It's the first year. I believe there's over 20 participants and we're just waiting on snow. So we've got the day planned. And so it's going to be a 4.5 hour day led by some amazing coaches. And we're just waiting. We've got a rescheduled day and we're just crossing our fingers for snow to have that. And then the last thing that we're offering is after participants go to the Learn to Ski Day, we wanted to have something. Well, what if they want to hone their skills? So we have some classic lessons and then we also have some skate ski lessons. And those are more, it's a smaller group and you're working right with a coach and an assistant coach and you come out for 2 hours and you can come 3 weekends in a row. And we're just waiting on snow.
So you guys have described an awful lot of opportunities for folks to engage with cross-country skiing, whether the first time or want to learn some new skills. Are these available only to club members or are they available to the community at large? And how do people find out about more details about how to sign up and get involved?
Yeah, so thanks, Phil, for the question. The best way to find out information about the Sandpoint Nordic Club is sandpointnordic.com. Is our website. You can also send an email off the website or just to sandpointnordic@gmail.com. And that'll get, we try to answer those within the day they're sent. And so that's the best way to find information about the club and what activities are going on. As Renee has indicated just a second ago, this year's been a little bit challenging due to low snow. So the best place to find out what is happening is to get to our website, and we're rescheduling as many events as we can to try and get them in if we do get fortunate enough to have some more snow here coming up.
Sure. Well, boy, it's a flip of a coin what to ask you about next. I'm thinking of going on to trails, but maybe we'd start with what's happening with ski rentals. I see there are a couple of ways a person could go about it if they didn't have their own equipment. Let's start with that.
Sure. So earlier in this discussion, I had mentioned that we had found that a barrier to participation in cross-country skiing was access to equipment. And when we first started our youth program in 2012, I believe it was, we found that we had a very unique situation in Sandpoint. We didn't have that many, most of the other clubs that are in the region, all of the kids that ski come from families that ski. Okay, so what we found out here, if we only wanted to deal with the kids of the families that ski, we were going to have almost nobody. So what we found that we had to do was find a way to get the kids to ski, and then hopefully mom and dad would ski later on. And by the way, that's exactly what has happened. It's been a very unique situation. A lot of other clubs are asking us, how the heck do you do that? Anyway, what we found, though, because these kids come from families that didn't ski, they didn't have ski equipment. And we knew that the only way that we were going to get participation was to have very affordable rental equipment. And so we started very early on. We said, we are going to provide seasonal rentals. And a lot of places, you know, they can't do that or won't do that. And we started out with gear that was whatever we could get our hands on. I remember one time my wife and I were over at Lone Mountain Ranch, which is just south of Bozeman here, and they had a box full of boots and it said free. And we said, can we take them, all of them? And they said, sure, take them. They weren't very good shape, but what the heck, they were all kids' boots. And so we got a entire box full of boots. And we even went back to a big ski swap. There's not very many ski swaps for Nordic gear out in the Sandpoint area. And so Vicky and I went back to Minneapolis and we got a truckload of skis at a ski swap and brought it out. So we learned that we had to have affordable rental equipment. And so over the years, we finally realized that we weren't going to get adults on skis if we didn't have adult rental equipment. So we started that program about 3 years ago or so. And all of our rentals, and it's really slick now that we have them all at the Outdoor Recreation Center, which is up at Pine Street Woods. And we do ski rentals on the weekends when we have snow. Right now, we're not open on the weekends due to lack of snow, but people can come up and they can rent skis, kids and teenagers and adults, families, they can rent skis for the day, the week, or for the entire season, and make it very affordable on all those levels.
Now, I know that the club is focused on skiing, but at the Outdoor Rental Center, are there also snowshoes available?
Yeah, it's a great question. We do have snowshoes available. We use them with our school program some days when, if that's what a teacher wants their class to do. And so we have 40 pair of snowshoes that are also available for daily rentals as well. Yeah, so that's the rental program that we have. There's a few shops, not a whole lot in town, that rent them. One shop does do some, is gearing up to do more and more Nordic related gear and rentals, and that's Outdoor Experience. So Jenny over there has been a big supporter of the Nordic Club, and she's building more of her inventory and more of her knowledge as well, and wax skis for people. And the other shout out I want to do is Rossignol has really backed us in a great way. I mean, they, I don't know if I should say this on radio, but the discounts they give us are amazing. And the reason is that we go to them and we tell them about the programs and the type of program we have. We have the absolute lowest pricing of any organization can get through Rossi. And it's less than half price is what we get from them. And we would not be able to do what we can do in the community if it wasn't for Rossignol support.
Well, what a great supporter of Nordic skiing. Mm-hmm. Way to go, Rossignol.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yes. So I think I'm going to save the question about where everyone can go skiing in the absence of snow as a teaser for the end. So let's just move on to talking about membership, membership at the Sandpoint Nordic Club. What are the benefits? We've already told us the numbers are large, but let's just talk about what it means to be a member at the club.
Sure, Julie. As I mentioned early on, the Sandpoint Nordic Club is a 501c3, and we do a lot of what we do with volunteers, most of what we do with volunteers. We have found, in order to provide sustainability, we have a very limited amount of staff. Renee earlier mentioned that this past summer we hired our first year-round part-time staffer, and that's Allie France, and she has just been unbelievable. In fact, shout out to Allie and her husband Lee. They just had a baby day before yesterday. So that's the number two Nordic skier they're bringing into the world.
Went your part-time employee for a while, Ross.
Yeah, exactly. I know. So you were asking about what are the benefits of membership, and as a 501c3, you know, we are trying our best to deliver is all of what we do at a very, very low budget. And membership, your annual membership for the Sandpoint Nordic Club, and right now we charge $80 for a family membership, it's an annual membership, and $45 for an individual for an annual membership. And the primary benefit, maybe not the most tangible benefit, but the primary benefit is you have a Nordic Club that is out there providing opportunities for people to Nordic ski. Tangibly, what does it mean? Tangibly, yeah, it helps us with grooming trails, building trails at Pine Street Woods, for instance, which is a fairly expensive endeavor just to get the trails groomed and built and all the fuel and equipment and so on. We do a lot of advocacy work. And one thing I'd like to bring up that is in the terms of advocacy, because this is the kind of stuff that maybe the community doesn't know, but because it's happening behind the scenes. So this last year, the Sandpoint Nordic Club was one of three organizations that got together along with Kiniksu Land Trust and the Ponderay Peddlers. And we formed something called the North Idaho Trails Coalition, or NITSE for short. And so one of the things that NITSE does is, for instance, the trails at Pine Street Woods and the fact that we have trails for all different kinds of user groups was really influenced by what we're doing in NITSE. That's like a little experimental playground, if you will, for NITSE. The thing that NITSE is focused on right now and is going to be a huge benefit to the Nordic community in the future is we're working very closely with the city of Sandpoint to be the primary driver of recreation in the watershed. And the beauty about recreation in the watershed for the Nordic Club is that we have access to elevation. And this winter, if any winter is going to tell us about how important it is to get higher, this winter is the winter that shows that to us. And so we're really excited with the movement that the city has made in the last few weeks, really, about providing a roadmap on how we're going to go about recreating the watershed. And that's something that will happen.
That's such wonderful work. And of course, that finding opportunities at elevation broadens the portfolio. And I know Julie wants to say for the end, where can we go now? And let's do that. But if this were a winter, there are a number of trail systems that the Nordic Club has helped support, maintain, groom, which is one of, I think, the more public facing aspects of the work that the volunteers and staff have done at the Nordic Club. Tell us about some of those locations. You've talked about Pine Street Woods, but there are others.
Yeah, sure. And if I could just, Phil, elaborate a little bit on Pine Street Woods, is we have 7 kilometers of trails up there that are now ready to go. We did a lot of work this past summer and the summer before. This past summer, we were really working on making the trails more approachable to all user levels at Pine Street Woods. So those 7 kilometers are all, I would say, beginner to intermediate level trails. We also work with the Dussault family, Rebecca and Charbel Dussault, and they have trails out on their property and the Overland family property out called the Lakeshore Trails. That's about 7 miles down Lakeshore Road past 41 South. And so, of course, both of those trail systems are at low elevation. We need snow. Some other places, the most obvious place that you might want to try Nordic skiing is up at Schweitzer Mountain Resort. They groom daily about 30 kilometers of trails up near the Schweitzer Village. And also for those people who are brand new to skiing, there is a short trail segment about 2 kilometers long right off the roundabout. So if you're going up to the Schweitzer Mountain and you turn right at the roundabout into a parking lot, you'll see a trailhead there. That is free of charge at the roundabout. And when they have snow, Western Pleasure Guest Ranch is also another place that does some grooming. Priest Lake Nordic has about 3 different ski areas. I think they have maybe a total of 15 or 20 kilometers of skiing up there. And then the biggest ski area in our region is at Mount Spokane, by the Mount Spokane downhill ski areas and Mount Spokane Nordic area. And they have about 65 kilometers of ski trails that are awesome trails as well.
And we can't forget about Farragut State Park. If there were snow, even on a good year, there's not always snow there, but they do have groomed trails as well.
Yeah, they have classic groomed trails, so no skate skiers, just FYI, at Farragut when they have snow, and Round Lake State Park also has some skiing available too.
Yeah, and I'd throw a shout out too. You mentioned the competition going up to Libby for some of our listeners. They're not that far away. Libby has a really nice complex in the Flower Creek area. Of course, the Chipmunk Rapids National Scenic Area, it's just south of Priest Lake, it's wonderful.
Yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and Libby actually has one other kind of cool twist. And the kind of the driver behind the Libby Nordic area right now is a previous biathlete named Ben Scott. And Ben has done tremendous work up in Libby, including getting a really top-notch biathlon range. And so a lot of the kids on our Sandpoint Nordic race team have now been introduced to biathlon. In fact, have probably participated in at least 6 biathlon clinics now that Ben has hosted. So they do have some great trails up there, and they continue to expand their trail network, their grooming, their biathlon range. It's really an awesome place to go.
Yeah, sounds interesting. Well, let's just continue on talking about the lack of snow. What's going to happen, guys? 2021, will we have snow? And if not, will the Nordic Club adjust and work things out? What are we thinking?
Well, I'm gonna if I could jump in really quickly and just complain a little bit about the weather forecasters, then I'll turn over to Renee to talk about what we're doing. So I was really super excited this year, right? It was a La Nina year. We were supposed to, La Nina for us means cold and wet. You know, it's perfect. It's like we were supposed, I mean, I thought after last year where we had a fair amount of snow, but a lot of rain, I thought, well, this will be the year. This is going to be the year. And here we are sitting on almost the end of January and we've hardly had any snow on the ground. And I know that Renee has had a fair amount. So, you know, I'll let her answer that question.
We should throw in an advisory here that we pre-record these things. And there is a chance by the time this broadcasts on Tuesdays and in the 4 or 5 days in between, there is snow in the forecast this weekend. So as you're listening to this, if you're chuckling, oh, what are they talking about? There's a foot out the window. Yeah, the predictions, who knows?
All right. That said, Renee, go ahead.
Yeah, so hopefully there will be more snow on the ground. But for example, for the school programs that are go during the day, we just still hold them up at Pine Street Woods. And like what my class experienced, Rick Price is really great with, we go around and they're out there hiking, running around, exploring, running through the woods and then playing different games. So we still accomplish the mission that kids get outside. And are experiencing Pine Street Woods and having fun. So that program continues even though we aren't on skis currently. And then for our youth program, for our after school program, it's been really great. Schweitzer has allowed us to use the roundabout. So for a few practices, we got one practice on skis at Pine Street Woods, which was awesome. We did some where we were hiking and practicing some of the techniques we needed. And then now we've been on skis on the roundabout. So that has been excellent. And we've all the families have all adapted to just coming up there and everyone's excited to be on snow. So those are two things there that have helped.
Yes, well, that's what we do in Sandpoint and elsewhere. We adjust when weather conditions don't quite meet our expectations. As we come to the end of our interview today, is there anything we've missed you to? Is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I'd just like to say thanks for the opportunity to talk a little bit about the Sandpoint Nordic Club. As I think we've hopefully conveyed, you know, we do interact with a lot of the community. As I mentioned, we had 450 members, and that doesn't even count at all, of course, the school programs. We'll have over, I don't know, several hundred kids will be involved in the school programs from, as Renee said, I think 6 or 7 different schools in the homeschool group in our community. So the number of people, it's we don't think of ourselves, maybe we are now, I don't know. In the past, we really haven't thought of ourselves as a kind of a Nordic or a cross-country ski community, but that's changing. And we have really found that if we can stick to our mission of making sure that we provide access to people, that it changes the community. And I've been able to witness that over my duration here since 2012 in Sandpoint. And it's really exciting to see how many kids out there or at least have the opportunity. And then again, we have a trickle up effect, which is very unique, I think, in our community. And that is get kids on skis. And before you know it, maybe mom and dad are going out too.
I think that's exciting. That part's just exciting. And the future looks so bright.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Nordic skiing, such a great lifelong activity, easy on the body, so much physical, it sort of works out your entire body. I love it. I'm so happy that you're here to help our community grow into more Nordic skiing. And why don't we have a reminder of your contact information before we finish our interview? Best way to reach you all.
So the best way to reach us is first get information off of the website at sandpointnordic.com. Again, sandpointnordic.com, all one word. And then you can email us either through the website or directly at sandpointnordic@gmail.com.
All right, very good. Well, I would like to thank you both, Ross Longini, who is the president and head race team coach at Sandpoint Nordic Club, and Renee Niggen, who is a board member and youth coach for Sandpoint Nordic Club. Thank you both for joining us. It's been a great interview. It's got me thinking excited thoughts about Nordic skiing if snow will come. For those of you who might have joined midway, this has been KRFY Community Conversations with me, Julie Calamine, and Phil Huff. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you both. And if any of those students actually make the national team, let's have them back for an interview.
They'd love to. I'd love to have them on the radio with you guys for sure. Thank you.
Great idea. Thank you all.
Well, this wraps up another community conversation. Thanks for listening to KRFY 88.5 FM. Listener-supported community radio for North Idaho and beyond. All of our programs can be heard live streaming on the web at krfy.org. And all of our community conversation shows are recorded and saved as podcasts on our website. KRFY strives to bring our community important local information. Currently, impacts from the COVID-19 pandemic remain at high levels across our state and region. In Idaho, we are at stage 2 level of restrictions and recovery. And Bonner County is currently at the red level, the highest level for risks of impact from the COVID pandemic. It is recommended we all follow the Panhandle Health District and government guidelines. If we help each other, we can get through this together. So let's be good neighbors and friends and protect each other. Please wear a mask in public, especially inside buildings and businesses, and keep a 6-foot distance apart from each other. Wash up and stay at home as much as possible, and stay home if you are sick. Stay safe, and thanks for listening. And before we close, we'd like to tell you about a new feature here at KRFY. If you'd like to see what song you have been listening to, you can go to our webpage or our Facebook page and find the playlist link. Then you can see the song you just heard. Until next week, enjoy all of our great programming, including Otto's Eclectic Mix, all day long.